The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, I have people in my church, people in our larger audience. When you preach on the end times, they get out their notebooks and they want to write down all the details, but they forget God did not give us the Bible to make us smarter sinners. He gave the Bible to us to make us more obedient followers of Jesus Christ.
When we focus on prophetic events of the end times, we end up fearful about what is to come rather than hopeful about who is to come. Next.
I wish you were here with us. One of the favorite people on this planet is sitting here with us. Betty and I love Dr. Robert Jeffers, First Baptist in Dallas. And I've been going to that church a long time. And, you know, you just said to me, and by the way, welcome back to Life Today.
Great to be with both of you. Thank you.
Love you deep. You said you were 12 years old when you started hearing me at First Baptist.
That's right. So used to have the Sunday night services. I'd sit up on the balcony and soak it all in.
But I hope you did listen some. I hope as you got a little older, you got something out of it. But, you know, we both have a great love and appreciation for one another, and we have prayed for one another. And, you know, First Baptist Church has blessed a lot of people, including us. And hopefully you think we've blessed First Baptist Church Dallas a little bit?
Absolutely. And we're not holding you responsible for the fire. You brought a fire, but it was a different kind of fire.
Well, that wasn't the kind of fire I was praying for.
Well, you did a great job there, and so many people were captivated by your preaching, including my father, who's in heaven now. And when he was very sick, you were kind to write him a nice note, and he actually left a portion of my inheritance to you, which I'm a little bitter over, but I'll get over it. No, he wanted to be a part of your ministry because he believed in what you both were doing for the kingdom of God.
Well, I tell you what, I'm grateful for what God's doing with you. I think you've made a great impact in our nation right now. I believe we're seeing prayers answered. Would you say the positive things that are coming more than anything responsible to the prayers of very serious, committed to God's will Christians?
Absolutely. Prayer changes things. And there have been millions of Christians praying about the direction of the country, and we were in a downward trajectory. There's no doubt about it, not just financially and governmentally, but spiritually. It all started with a spiritual apostasy our nation was in. And we've had a temporary reprieve from that, I think, because of the prayers of people. But I'm going to say this often on this program, this is no time for Christians to be letting up. We need to be doubling down right now in our commitment to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know long term this nation and this world will get moved further and further away from God. But thank God there is a new world coming when Jesus Christ returns.
And we can make an impact in the world we're in right now if we'll just do what he left us here to do.
Well, that's right. And, you know, James and Betty, I ask people the question, why is it that God didn't take us to heaven the moment we were saved? Why didn't he just rapture us right then? When you think about it, God could have enjoyed much better fellowship with us if we were in heaven instead of leaving us here where we get tangled up in sin and doubt and a thousand other things. He left us here, as you said, for a reason, and that's to go into all the world and make disciples. And the fact that Christ is coming back again isn't a cause for a laissez-faire attitude and a do-nothing attitude. It ought to make us work all the more. You know, Jesus said, work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man will be able to work.
Well, I'm going to be doing what he left us here to do, and that's being a witness for him. I'm going to be doing my best to walk over the enemy, to be more than a conqueror, because in the next kingdom, we got nothing to conquer, nothing to overcome. And by the way, I pray you get through the effects of the fire. We don't know all that may have brought that about, but I just want you to know it broke my heart to see a lot of memories go back, and you're going to actually restore some of them, right?
Well, we are. We're building this historic sanctuary where you preached.
Right.
Four presidents worshiped there. Billy Graham, who was a member of our church for 54 years, preached many services in our church. And so it was a great place. But as I said that night of the fire on the news, the church is not brick and mortar. It's people. And nothing of God was actually lost in that fire.
Okay, you got another book. I'm telling you, you've written 30 books. I can't even imagine that. It's just an amazing thing. This one is called Jesus Revealed in the End Times. And we're going to do two shows, this one and one other one. I want you just to take us through some of the things that you believe God wants us to hear related to what you're sharing in this book, because I think it's a must read.
You know, somebody said one time, the three most popular topics to preach on that always get a crowd are the end times, sex, and will there be sex in the end times? People are fascinated with the end times, all aspects of it. And a year and a half ago, when Hamas invaded Israel, October the 7th, we remember the day well, we had all kind of questions being asked us. Are we living in the end times? Are we living in the end times? Most books take a year to write and put out. In 6 weeks, we came out with the book, Are We Living in the End Times? To answer that question. And we can delve in that further if you want to, but technically, we're not in the end times yet. But we're in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years since Christ left.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we are in the last days and getting closer to the end times. But I wrote this book as a follow-up, Jesus Revealed in the End Times, because James and Betty, what most people forget about is that the end times are really not about events. They're about a person, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Revelation is the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
It's really all about Jesus. Colossians 1 says, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Nothing would exist apart from Him. And the reason the end times are exciting, or should be, because when Christ comes back, we're going to see Him in all of His glory. And I know we'll talk about this on the next show, about the different roles, Jesus as judge, conqueror, Messiah. The first time, some of those roles were hidden from us, but we'll see Him in all of His glory, and that ought to give us great hope. But I really believe it's important to certainly understand what's going to happen, but understand who is coming is the most important thing. And that ought to fill us with hope for right now. You know, we as Christians, you know, so many people walk around with these long expressions on their face. They look like they're the cover photo for the Book of Lamentations. I mean, they're sourpuss Christians, and nobody wants to be around them. Remember, 1 Peter says, if any man asks you, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you.
Wow.
The fact that Christ is coming back ought to fill us with hope,
sure.
But it also ought to fill us with a desire for holiness.
Yes.
You know, 2 Peter 3 says, seeing that all of these things are going to end in this way, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord? And so, you know, I have people in my church, people in our larger audience, when you preach on the end times, they get out their notebooks and they want to write down all the details, but they forget that the purpose of the end times is to draw us closer to Christ. God did not give us the Bible to make us smarter sinners. He gave the Bible to us to make us more obedient followers of Jesus Christ.
I just know that every time you write a book, it's like a fresh breath from God of spiritual encouragement and hope, as well as learning and being educated in ways that we need to be. Do you feel like that this book coming at this exact moment when we're seeing some trends that we could call positive trends, the result of prayer, like we have referenced the fact, the importance of prayer. Do you think that we are seeing some of those positive signs that prove that if we will come together and pray, do what He left us here to do, we will make an impact on this world that's groping in darkness?
I think what's happened, and because of the last election, I know this isn't a political show, but I think most evangelical Christians voted for our president, and they did so not because they thought he was going to be the pastor of the country, but they felt like he would be a leader who would do what government has been called to do. You know, you look in the scriptures, government has two assignments. Romans 13 is to protect citizens from evildoers, and secondly, 1 Timothy 2, to protect our freedom of worship. You know, Paul said, I pray for governors and kings and all those in authorities, pray for them that we might lead quiet and tranquil lives in all godliness and dignity. But if I were to say anything to our audience today is, this is not a time for Christians to be letting up. I find this attitude in some Christians. Oh, well, everything's going to be okay now that we've got the right person in the White House. This is no time to be letting up. This is a time to be doubling down on the Great Commission assignment you've talked about, to go into all the world and make decisions. Because whatever respite we're having right now is not going to last forever. We've read, we know the end of the story. This nation is going to move further and further away from God. This world is going to unravel. It'll only take 7 years of a tribulation when all Christians are gone for everything to completely unravel. And then Christ comes back again. But we ought to do everything we can, just like your ministry is doing, to reach as many people as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I feel a lot like you expressed earlier, God's given us, so to speak, a reprieve. Yeah. Right now, and that's to get things in order as He wants it to be, and to be who He wants us to be. Of all times, I feel like it's more important right now in my lifetime that I tune into Him and ask Him to direct everything I think, everything I speak, everything I pray, everything I do, to be honor and glory to Him, and to be the yes. example that He wants me to be.
I think you're right. And talking about a reprieve, I think we need to remember any pause in the attack of the enemy is not permanent. It's just a chance to reload.
Right. That's right.
And the enemy's reloading, right. and he's coming after Christians, and we need to be That's ready right. for that.
Well, I'm doing my best to, take the gospel into the darkest parts of the world. But I'm also trying to show them the importance of loving one another, not pick on one another, find a reason to divide and try to conquer one another and prove we're right. There needs to be the overpowering, consuming, controlling love of God. And I'm finding myself at, here I am, 81 years old, Betty and I have been married 62 years. Mm-hmm. Boy, you are a doll, you know that. Wow, it's easy to see how I fell in love with you, and I'm more in love every day. But I'm telling you, I really just find myself wanting to pour the love of God out on people. I find it easy to love people. I'm heartbroken by those that are controlled by the enemy, and they're so ugly, and they're frightening because the enemy is the destroyer. And I'm watching what he's doing, but I'm saying, God, please raise us up so full of love and so full of Christ-likeness that they will be drawn to the Jesus in us that lifts us above the wages of sin and the power of the deceiver and the demonic activity that's going on and makes us overcomers. And I'm actually beginning to see some of that in the midst of all the ugliness. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing people come together to love people more. You and I watch preachers from all different kind of denominations when they realized our nation was in such a mess. Yes. They actually came together to yeah. pray mm-hmm. in spite of what they might consider some serious disagreements. They realized that love was more important. Praying and doing God's will and getting His message of love out was more important than all of our difference. You and I watched that, and I felt like you encouraged that and you inspired it, and I want to say thank you. And frankly, I think that's what Jesus revealed in the last times does. He causes us to reveal Himself, which I saw Him. I've known you a long time, and I'm known you to be such a great preacher, but I watched you become a lover of people that you knew you had some disagreements with, period, maybe even serious, but not serious enough to put aside the most important thing, and that's praying, Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
And you have helped inspire that, and I want to thank you.
And what we agree on is so much more important than what we disagree on.
Yes.
I can work with anybody who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. All these other issues are secondary issues. And you know, the scripture says they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And one of the things that really disturbs me right now is when we see other Christians who have fallen into sin, there's almost among some a rejoicing in it. I think maybe out of a sense of self-righteousness. Oh, I'm not that bad. I could never do that. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And we need to show grace, not tolerance for sin, but grace toward one another. I think that's important.
In the next program, we're going to talk about basics that come out here in the 8 or 9 chapters that are here that are so fabulous. And if you could say something to our audience, focus on this in these days, what would you say? Focus on what in these days?
I would say that in these last days, which we're certainly in, I think, first of all, we need to focus inwardly on making sure our relationship with Jesus Christ is what it should be. You know, the great irony is that even though our days are few, life is brief, the decisions that we make in this life reverberate in the halls of heaven forever. We have the chance to impact our eternity based on our faithfulness in this life to do what Christ has called us to do. I'm grateful that as a Christian, I never have to worry about standing before the great white throne judgment and God determining whether I'm going to heaven or hell. That decision is made the moment I trust in Christ. But that doesn't mean my life won't be evaluated. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10 says, "For we," talking about Christians, "must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ," the Bema of Christ, "that we may be rewarded for what we've done in the body, whether it is good or worthless." And the fact that Christ is coming back again means that we're going to stand before Him one day as Christians, and how we ought to long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We have the opportunity right now to order our lives or reorder our lives to make sure that they're living and that they're consistent with what Christ wants us to do. And that's what the end times mean to me. The end times mean my time is short here on earth. I don't know when Jesus is coming back again. James and Betty don't know. Only God the Father knows the time. But what we do know is we've got 20, 30, 40 years left here on earth before God takes us home. And we need to be sure we're ready to meet Him face to face.
Let me just say a prayer confirming what you just said. Father, Dr. Jeffers is such an inspiration, and we're so excited to be able to share another program with all of our viewers. And we want to thank you for those who watch Life Today and see Life Today not only as a program that cares about their life today and every day, but cares about life all over the world and about needs. And our viewers are always anxious to try to put your arms around the overlooked. And we want to thank you for that. Thank you for everyone watching today, in Jesus' name. You know, Dr. Jeffers, I know that our viewers, and they would tell you, they have enjoyed watching me and Betty, not just because they've seen a couple that do obviously love God and love one another and love our family, and we have, including all of our great-grandchildren now, over 30 grandchildren, which is a miracle for a kid that never had a father, never had a home. But I have a father now, that father, and we've been able to impact much of the world, and we live in joy. But you know what our greatest joy is? Because it's what captures your attention. It's doing what Jesus considered great. Not overlooking the least of these, but finding the hungry and the thirsty and the suffering and the imprisoned and those that have been downtrodden and reaching out and meeting their needs. And He said, Jesus said, "When you do this to them, you have done it to me." You're giving me the greatest joy. You're actually not only ministering there, but ministering to me. What a joy that is. Dr. Jeffers, our viewers have found the joy of sharing His love with the overlooked. Right now, we're asking you to help us feed 350,000 children every day. Our missionaries who are called and have separated themselves unto God, even leaving their home countries to move into the midst of the suffering, they have asked, "Would you please help us so we're not empty-handed, so we can put God's loving arms around the overlooked?" And boy, have you made it happen. Would you help us by making a great gift right now to help us feed the 350,000 overlooked? We need a miracle of love. I want you to watch and listen as John Yates, our missions director, communicates with those right now who need to feel His love through you. Watch closely.
Here in our community, our problem is hunger. It rains sometimes, but not enough to grow food. All the children are suffering because their parents are worried about food. My prayer is to ask Jesus to look after us because we are suffering so much. I believe that when I am praying, Jesus responds in that moment. Yes, we are human beings. We were made by God, and we need to ask Him for help.
Father, we ask that You would provide rain for the ground, Lord, provide crops for the community, provide a school for the children.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we were amazed that with just a little help, you'd see him beginning to find joy and hope. And then when you saw everything change, Betty, and they would build a church, we could encourage the establishment of a school. We began feeding in the schools. We saw the people so transformed that when we would go to see them, we noticed that they would be crying when we left, and they were singing when we came. And I asked the pastor, why are they crying? And he said, well, because when you came years ago and we were starving and they were all dying, and you gave food, it changed everything, as you can see. And now today you see the change, and you've come to look and see and rejoice, but they think you're never going to come back, and you're still their source of feeding and being able to have a stable life in the schools. And they're afraid now because they're so happy you're not coming back, and that's why they're crying. Boy, that tore me up, Betty. I said, no, we're going to come back. We're not raising you up to then go off and leave you. We're going to continue to help you so that you can grow to help others. And that is what we do. And Betty, I'm praying right now because God knows those children that need food, those families that are starving and hurting, you're the miracle that they long for and pray for. And we know it works. We know that love never fails. I'm praying we'll see the greatest response perhaps we've ever seen with people giving, whether it's $30, $50, or $100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 children, or give $1,000 to feed 100. Just please do all you can to help us give life to those precious people.
You know, James, I agree with you. And to just watch and listen to that mother, the devastation they feel. Some of them have lost 10 children. Some of them have lost all the children that they have. But you know what blessed me so much was the faith, their faith in God, their faith in Jesus, and knowing in this time of wilderness in their lives, they have God to turn to. So they trust God to send the help that they need. And I believe that's our part as His children, to be a part of relieving them of the pain that they go through seeing their children die because they don't have any food. It's just not right. I hope you will join with us, and let's continue being a blessing, as she was a blessing to me, by expressing her love and her faith in Jesus.
Well, I know when we came back after seeing the need, and we really didn't know how our viewers would respond, but I did say to Betty, Betty, if they don't help, I don't know if I can live and bear the load, because I'd seen the pain, but I also knew what love did to change it all, and you are expressing that love all over the world. We need your help right now. Please, go get your bank card, use it like a check. If you get a check, please, please make it out to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. If you use a bank card, use it like a check and make the best gift you can, because you're giving life. You're giving life to people who thought no one would ever notice, but you did, and I know you're going to help. And I say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation to help you live your best life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request your Health and Wellness Bundle. This 3-book set includes natural remedies as well as essential fasting, a simple eating strategy to accelerate weight loss, crush cravings, and reverse aging, and the probiotic diet that gives effective strategies to improve digestion, boost brain health, and supercharge your immune system. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rubin, and for over 2 decades, my wife Nikki and I have been supporting the Ministries of Life. With any gift to Mission Feeding, you will transform the lives of 350,000 children in Africa by giving them nutritious food and a hope for the future. With your gift, you'll receive a powerful wellness bundle which can bring the power of health and nutrition into your own home. Transform the lives of thousands and your own family. Do it today.
Thank you so much for helping. If you'd like to have Dr. Jeffers' book, just ask for it. We're going to talk about it more in the next program, kind of break it down. But we really want you to know, you know, he said something to me just now. He said, I so well remember when Robin left, when you lost Robin. He was carrying that load with us when we said goodbye to her daughter over 12 years ago. She now has 6 grandchildren. She's only seen from heaven. But she's got millions of grandchildren spiritually. Because she was a spiritual stick of dynamite. Hey, thanks for helping us put God's arms around others. Don't miss the next program with Dr. Jeffers, one of my favorite people on planet Earth.
I was told by a medical professional and then another one that you have terminal cancer and you're going to die if you don't do it this way.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.